This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of trauma scoring systems from the trauma section on orthobullets.com. The purpose of scoring systems include appropriate triage and classification of trauma patients to predict outcomes for patient and family counseling, quality assurance, reimbursement purposes, and research. Specifically, it's extremely useful for the study of outcomes. As far as classifications, there are physiologic, anatomic, and combined classifications. Examples of physiologic classifications include the Revised Trauma Score, or RTS, the Acute Physiology and Chronic Health Evaluation, or APACHE, scoring system, the Sequential Organ Failure Assessment Score, or SOFA, the Systemic Inflammatory Response Syndrome Score, or SIRS, and the Emergency Trauma Score. Examples of anatomic classifications include the Abbreviated Injury Score, or AIS, the Injury Severity Score, or ISS, the New Injury Severity Score, or the NISS, the Anatomic Profile, or AP, the Penetrating Abdominal Trauma Index, or PATI, the ICD-Based Injury Severity Score, or ICISS, and the Trauma Mortality Prediction Model, or the TMPM-ICD-9. Examples of combined classification systems include the Trauma Score, Injury Severity Score, a Severity Characterization of Trauma, and the International Classification of Diseases Injury Severity Score. Now, let's talk about a pretty well-known trauma scoring system that is the Glasgow Coma Scale, which quantifies the severity of head injury by measuring CNS function. It's used both as an initial assessment tool as well as continual reevaluation of head-injured patients. The variables in the Glasgow Coma Scale include best motor response, best verbal response, and eye opening. The best motor response is out of 6 points, the best verbal response is out of 5 points, and eye opening is out of 4 points. With respect to best motor response, obeying commands gives you 6 points, localizing to pain gives you 5 points, normal withdrawal with flexion gives you 4 points, abnormal withdrawal with flexion gives you 3 points, and this is also known as decorticate posturing. Abnormal withdrawal with extension gives you 2 points, and this is known as decerebid posturing. And no response gives you 1 point, which is also known as flaccid paralysis. With respect to best verbal response, being oriented gives you 5 points, a confused conversation gives you 4 points, inappropriate words gives you 3 points, incomprehensible sounds gives you 2 points, and no verbal response gives you 1 point. With respect to eye opening, spontaneous eye opening gives you 4 points, eye opening to speech gives you 3 points, eye opening to pain gives you 2 points, and no eye opening gives you 1 point. Calculation of the Glasgow Coma Scale is motor response plus verbal response plus eye opening. As far as the interpretation, brain injury is considered severe with a Glasgow Coma Scale of less than 9. It's considered moderate with a Glasgow Coma Scale of between 9 to 12, and it's considered minor with a score of 13 and above. The pros of the Glasgow Coma Scale is that it reliably predicts outcomes for diffuse and focal lesions, and the cons of the Glasgow Coma Scale is that it does not take into account focal or lateralizing signs, diffuse metabolic processes, or intoxication. The Revised Trauma Score, or RTS, is the most widely used pre-hospital field triage tool. Variables include the Glasgow Coma Scale, systolic blood pressure, and the respiratory rate. With respect to the Glasgow Coma Scale, a score of between 13 to 15 gives you 4 points in the Revised Trauma Score. A GCS of 9 to 12 gives you a score of 3 on the Revised Trauma Score. A GCS of 6 to 8 gives you a score of 2 on the Revised Trauma Score. A GCS of 4 to 5 gives you a score of 1 on the Revised Trauma Score. And a GCS of 3 gives you a score of 0 on the Revised Trauma Score. With respect to systolic blood pressure, greater than 90 gives you a score of 4, 76 to 89 gives you a score of 3, 50 to 75 gives you a score of 2, 1 to 49 gives you a score of 1, and 0 gives you a score of 0. With respect to respiratory rate, 10 to 29 gives you a score of 4, greater than 30 gives you a score of 3, 6 to 9 gives you a score of 2, 1 to 5 gives you a score of 1, and 0 gives you a score of 0. The calculation of the Revised Trauma Score is the Glasgow Coma Scale score plus the systolic blood pressure score plus the respiratory rate score. As far as the interpretation, a lower score indicates higher severity, and a Revised Trauma Score of less than 4 is proposed for transfer to a trauma center. The pros of the revised trauma score is that it's useful during triage to determine which patients need to be transported to a trauma center. And as far as cons, you can underestimate the injury severity in patients injured in one system. Moving on to the injury severity scale, this is the first scoring system to be based on an anatomic criteria. It defines the injury severity for comparative purposes. As far as the variables, it's based on scores of 9 anatomic regions, that is the head, the face, the neck, the thorax, abdominal and pelvic contents, the spine, upper extremity, lower extremity, and external. As far as the calculation, the abbreviated injury scale grades are 0, which corresponds to no injury, 1, which corresponds to minor injury, 2, which corresponds to moderate injury, 3, that corresponds to severe but not life-threatening injury, 4, that corresponds to severe life-threatening injuries but survival is probable, 5, corresponds to severe critical injuries where survival is uncertain, and 6, corresponds to maximal, possibly fatal injuries. The Injury Severity Scale, or ISS, equals the sum of the squares for the highest abbreviated injury scale grades in the 3 most severely injured ISS body regions. That is, ISS equals A squared plus B squared plus C squared, where A, B, and C are the abbreviated injury scale scores of the 3 most severely injured ISS body regions. Scores range from 1 to 75. And a single score of 6 on any abbreviated injury scale region results in an automatic score of 75. With respect to the interpretation, an injury severity scale of greater than 15 is associated with a mortality of 10%. The pros of the injury severity scale is that it integrates anatomic areas of injury in formulating a prediction of outcomes. As far as the cons, it's difficult to calculate during the initial evaluation and resuscitation in the emergency room. It's also difficult to predict outcomes for patients with severe single-body area injury. However, the new injury severity score, or the NISS, overcomes this deficit. Modifications of the injury severity scale include the modified injury severity score and the new injury severity score. The modified injury severity score, or MISS, is similar to the injury severity score, but it's for pediatric trauma. It categorizes the body into 5 areas instead of 9, but it's similarly calculated as the sum of the squares for the highest injury score grades in the 3 most severely injured body regions. The new injury severity score takes the 3 highest scores regardless of anatomic area, and it's more predictive of complications and mortality than the injury severity scale. Moving on to the mangled extremity severity score, this is used to predict the necessity of amputation after lower extremity trauma. Variables include skeletal and soft tissue injury, which are graded 1 to 4, limb ischemia, which is graded 1 to 3, shock, which is graded 0 to 2, and age, which is graded 0 to 2. This score is determined by adding the scores of components in the 4 categories. And as far as the interpretation, a score of greater than 7 is predictive of amputation. The pros of the mangled extremity severity score is that it has a high specificity for predicting amputation. The cons is that there is low sensitivity for predicting amputation. Moving on to the sickness impact profile, this evaluates the impact of disease on physical and emotional functioning. There are 12 categories for the sickness impact profile, and these are sleep, eating, work, home management, recreation, physical dimension, which is broken down into ambulation, body care, and movement, and a psychosocial dimension, which is broken down into social interaction, alertness behavior, emotional behavior, and communication. As far as relevance to trauma, with respect to lower extremity injuries, the psychosocial subscale does not improve with time. As far as polytrauma, at 10-year follow-up after a major polytrauma, females have decreased quality of life scores, increased PTSD rates, and increased absentee sick days when compared to males. Moving on to the systemic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS, this is a generalized response to trauma characterized by an increase in cytokines, an increase in complement, and an increase in hormones. It's used as a marker for an individual's generalized response to trauma that likely has a genetic predisposition. It's also associated with conditions such as disseminated intravascular coagulopathy, or DIC, acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, renal failure, multisystem organ failure, or shock. The variables for the SIRS criteria include a heart rate of greater than 90 beats per minute, a white blood cell count of less than 4,000 or greater than 12,000, a respiratory rate of greater than 20, or a PaCO2 of less than 32 millimeters, or 4.3 kilopascals, and a temperature of less than 36 degrees, or greater than 38 degrees. As far as the calculation of the SIRS criteria, each component, that is heart rate, white blood cell count, respiratory rate, and temperature, is given 1 point if it meets the criteria that we just mentioned. As far as the interpretation, a score of 2 or more meets criteria for SIRS. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, at long-term follow-up, a male who sustains multiple traumatic injuries compared with a premenopausal female who sustains similar polytrauma is most likely to have which of the following? And the choices are 1. Higher quality of life scores than females. 2. Increased rates of complex regional pain syndrome. 3. Require more psychiatric counseling and pharmacologic management than females. 4. Take more absentee days at work as a result of illness than females. And 5. Decreased incidence of lower extremity amputation. The correct answer to this question is 1. Higher quality of life scores than females. So 10 or more years after severe polytrauma, premenopausal women compared to men demonstrate a higher incidence of post-traumatic stress disorder and take more sick leave time from work. Depression following polytrauma should be screened for by treating orthopedic surgeons. Depression commonly arises from a protracted injury and can compound the disability by increasing the perception of more physical illness. Probst et al. Present a level 4 review of over 600 polytrauma patients. They found that quality of life was significantly lower in women, but the same rate of women and men felt well rehabilitated. Holbrook et al. Report a level 4 study of 1,048 polytrauma patients. They found that females had lower quality of life scores and were significantly more likely to develop early combined depression. Moving on to the next question. A patient sustains a severe lower extremity injury. What can be said about his outcome at 2 years if he chooses reconstruction over amputation? And the choices are 1. He has a higher risk of rehospitalization. 2. He has a higher chance of returning to work. 3. He will have a higher overall sickness impact profile score. 4. His psychosocial sickness impact profile score will improve with time. And 5. He will have a better sickness impact profile score if he did not complete high school. The correct answer to this question is 1. He has a higher risk of rehospitalization. So severe lower extremity injury patients undergoing reconstruction have a higher rate of rehospitalization at 2 years. This question is based on data published by the LEAP Study Group, which is a multi-centered study of severe extremity injuries treated with either amputation or reconstruction. Boss et al. Found that at 2 years, the sickness impact profile score and return to work were not statistically significant between amputation and reconstruction groups. Reconstruction patients had a higher risk of rehospitalization. The psychosocial subscale of the sickness impact profile did not improve with time. Risk factors for poorer sickness impact profile scores were rehospitalization for a major complication, a low educational level, non-white race, poverty, lack of private health insurance, poor social support network, low self-efficacy, that is the patient's confidence in being able to resume life activities, smoking, and involvement in disability compensation litigation. McKenzie et al. Evaluated factors influential in returning to work after severe lower extremity injury. Characteristics that correlated with higher rates of return to work included younger age, higher education, higher income, the presence of strong social support, and employment in a white-collar job that was not physically demanding. Receipt of disability compensation had a strong negative effect on return to work. Moving on to the next question. A child in a motor vehicle accident has a Glasgow Coma Scale score of 14. His injuries have been graded as severe but not life-threatening injury to the chest, which is given 3 points, moderate injury to the abdomen, which is given 2 points, and severe injuries but with probable survival to the face or neck, which is given 4 points, using the criteria for the modified injury severity score. There are no injuries to the extremities slash pelvis. Based on this information, what is the child's total modified injury severity score? And the choices are 1, 7, 2, 9, 3, 25, 4, 29, and 5, 30. The correct answer to this question is 4, 29. The modified injury severity score for children categorizes injuries into 5 body regions: 1, neurologic; 2 face and neck, 3 chest, 4 abdomen and pelvic contents, and 5 extremities and pelvic girdle. Each of these are scored 1 to 5, with 1 being minor, 2 moderate, 3 severe but not life-threatening, 4 severe with probable survival, and 5 critical with uncertain survival. The total score for the modified injury severity score, like the injury severity score, is the sum of the squares for the highest injury score grades in the 3 most severely injured body regions. Therefore, in this case, chest, which is 3 squared, plus abdomen, which is 2 squared, plus face and neck, which is 4 squared, equals 9 plus 4 plus 16, which equals 29. The Glasgow Coma Scale would be 1, which is less than the scores of 3 of the other areas, so it is excluded. Loader in 1987 showed that in 78 polytrauma pediatric patients, no deaths were seen when the modified injury severity score is less than 40. Mortality was 50% for scores greater than 40 and 75% for scores greater than 50. And moving on to the final question, the Mangled Extremity Severity Score, or MESS, utilizes all of the following variables except, and the choices are 1, limb ischemia, 2, shock, 3, patient age, 4, skeletal and soft tissue injury, and 5, time from admission to surgery. The correct answer to this question is 5, time from admission to surgery. So the Mangled Extremity Severity Score is a tool utilized to help predict limb salvage success versus primary amputation at the time of presentation. As a screening tool for amputation, the scoring system has a high specificity but low sensitivity, as scores lower than 7 may also ultimately need amputation. All of the variables except choice number 5, which is time from admission to surgery, are part of the scoring system. That's all for this review about trauma scoring systems. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.